Hi, everybody, and welcome to Buzzing About Romance. On this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance, author spotlight edition, and for this episode, I am joined by author Lee Curran. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And I did pronounce that right, correct?
Yes.
Like, perfect. I did ask for the phonetic pronunciation.
You did. I get all kinds. Curran, Karen, whatever. It's all good.
Well, my actual last name, like people, like they butcher it. And so, yeah, I totally understand.
You did great.
Well, thank you. All right. As a recovering yo-yo dieter who has struggled with body image for most of her life, she's passionate about the theme of embracing her body at any shape or size and discovering your intrinsic worth. She loves bringing readers stories that are real, relatable, and entertaining, featuring perfectly imperfect characters who tug at your heartstrings, turn you on, and have you rooting for big O's and a happily ever after. Originally from Cleveland, Ohio, she's now a proud adopted Canuck. She's lived in Toronto, Ontario, and now calls Calgary, Alberta home, where she shares life with her husband, daughter, and their Havanese. The winters are frigid with 335 days of sunshine a year. Tanning in a parka is a thing.
It really
you can
is.
often find her up late writing, devouring boxes of Godiva, sharing laughs with family and friends, or walking by the waterfront soaking up that Calgary sunshine. See, I'm the opposite. I live about 30 minutes outside of Pittsburgh, and we have like so many gloomy days.
Right. Yeah, that's hard when it's cold and gloomy.
It is really sunny today. Like we're on an upswing and it's very nice. Also,
Yay.
if you're listening and I sound horrible, as a lot of you know, like my entire family's had the flu, so we're getting over that. So I'm really channeling my inner Phoebe Buffay this week. But I digress. Well, welcome to the podcast. And
Thank
before
you.
we talk about an imperfect truth, let's get to know you a little bit, okay?
Okay.
So, what initially drew you to romance as a writer?
Well, I started reading romance in my teens. My very first book that I read was Forever by Judy Blume. So I'm really dating myself there.
Oh, I love that
Wasn't
book.
that a
I love
great
a
book?
Judy Blume.
I know, I know. So I was introduced to that and I thought, oh, I love this. And then that sort of led me to the icons like Nora Roberts and Sandra Brown. You got to, cut your teeth on the icons.
Yeah.
As much as I enjoyed those stories, I wasn't seeing myself in those stories.
Right.
And so I started to look for other romances since I love the genre. And that led me to my first Black romance, which was written by Rochelle Ahlers. And I just saw there can be so much diversity in romance. And I just fell in love with it more when I could relate to it from, just seeing myself in it. So when I decided to write my first book, I knew it was going to be romance.
Yeah. So what made you press publish that first time?
Well, when I first wrote my first book was Fat Girl. It was more of a sort of a cathartic journey,
Okay.
and so I wrote it because it was just a story that spoke to me. I really wasn't thinking about publishing at the time. I was just writing. I always loved to write, and then I had a couple of people read it, and they go, "This is really good." And I was like, "It is," that sort of imposter syndrome that actually I still have. But anyway, I thought, "Oh, okay, well maybe it is good." And I sent it to an editor. A friend of mine connected me with an editor, and she said, "I want to actually help you get this traditionally published." But I know myself, and I know that I don't do well with structure. I was always the kid that went to the independent high schools and stuff because I just could not follow structure. You couldn't box me in. And I thought traditional publishing is probably not going to work for me. So That made me think, okay, you know what? If I'm going to do it, I don't know. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but I did. I hit publish, and hey, you learn, you figure it out. And it was tough. It really was tough. And it continues to be a real challenge, but I have found so much love and support in the book community, with other authors, with readers, of course, and with Bookstagrammers that are just, you know, they're just very helpful. And so, and I love being a part of that community. So I would not change being an indie author. I have no desire to find an agent to do traditional. Kudos to those who do it, but it's not me.
Well, and I appreciate the fact that you recognize that, like, that is not something that it would be for you. 'Cause that's the thing. There are a lot of, like, I'm one of those people, like, when I was in kindergarten, I did not get the O in coloring. I got the S minus because I did not color in the lines. It's not that I couldn't, I just wouldn't. And so, like, I totally understand that. But I think that's very big of you to, like, recognize, like, good for some people that they can do that. That's just not for me, so I'm gonna do it my own way. Is there something that you now as an author would tell your younger self?
Definitely, I would say to myself when I was first writing, I'm now five books in, and so if I look back at my first journey, even the couple my first few books, I'd say don't take yourself so seriously. Not every word on the page has to be perfect, and that's the problem for me when I'm writing. I agonize every word and every line and every this and every that, so I'm editing and re-editing, and you can really get stuck there. Where I write with these two other authors, these women that I absolutely love, and they just go with the flow. They just start writing, and you know, they write from the back to the front, start with the epilogue, they do whatever, and I go, oh my gosh, like I can't even imagine that. But so I'm trying now to relax a little bit in terms of my style and not just being so tough on myself.
We have an author friend who writes like that. She'll write books completely out of order. I termed it her chaos. So, like, her name is Kelly, so it's the Kelly Chaos, but chaos is with a K. But it just, she does, like, she writes like crazy like that too. And I will admit, I read books like that sometimes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, I will read an entire book, but I will bounce around it and I don't know why, but I just do. 'Cause
Well,
it's one of
whatever
those
works for
things.
you.
Yeah, like if the book isn't working for me, like I'll jump around just to see. And so, 'cause I don't like to DNF, so I have termed Leah-ing a book.
But
And
that's
so
a
I just
smart
jump around.
way. That's a smart way because sometimes books can take a while to sort of pick up, and you might, you know, decide not to finish something that had you have maybe skipped a little bit. You think, whoa, this is the hook for me. So that makes sense.
So, like, I always read the beginning and the end of a book. I just not, and I, a lot of times I'll read the middle too, but sometimes I won't read the entire middle. So I
I get
didn't
that.
technically DNF it.
No, you did not.
And I know the outcome, but sometimes it just is a really long time to get to the outcome. And so I just, so as a reader now, do you still read abroad a lot of romance, or do you read other subgenres and genres as well?
My go-to is romance. I love spicy romance. I love dark romance. As long as it's sort of respectful, that's important to me and in the story. But my real love also, and maybe one day I'll write one, is a thriller. I mean, I love a thriller. That would be fun.
I used to read thrillers. I'm not so much there anymore just because,
No.
like, well, because the older I get, like, I used to love, like, a horror movie or like a scary movie. I can't watch them anymore.
No, I'm not for that.
I don't know what it is, so I don't know if I could read a thriller anymore because, like, it just gets in my head and then I just, yeah, it's
I
just
hear
not for me.
that. Though a domestic thriller kind of just gets. I just love something about that sort of.
Like a good mystery
A
with
good
like a little
mystery.
chaos mixed in.
I love
So,
chaos for sure.
so can you share any writing r rituals or habits that you have to stay focused during your process?
Well, I set up this office to write in, and I thought,
Okay.
okay, this is great. And I've never written in here. And I think that's the problem. I set it up in this sort of structured way when I'm not that. So I write in my spare bedroom that has a bed and that has a comfy chair. I put my feet up, laptop on my lap, and I just do my thing. And when I hit kind of those rough spots, what I find really helps is water. So running water over my wrists. And I didn't know why that actually works, but I researched it, and there is something about the water, that flow, that actually helps with the flow of creativity. So that's my go-to. I love doing that. Sometimes, it's not convenient to jump into a shower, but so I find the water on the wrist actually works, along with a nice walk on occasion. But so that's it. Nothing crazy, just that.
Do you plot your books out, or are you a pantser?
Oh, definitely a pantser. Like the
Yeah.
idea comes to me, and it comes to me because I mainly write from sort of my experience, kind of taking pieces of characters from people that I know, that kind of thing. So I feel like I'm writing from my heart in that way. But I don't plot. There's not going to be any whiteboard with all
Right.
of that stuff. The characters speak to me. And the biggest challenge for me is getting all that for the first time onto paper. Where do I start? How is this book going to start? That's my biggest challenge. Once I get that, then it kind of flows. But getting there is tough for me.
Do you have a favorite trope to write?
No, I don't write from a trope perspective. I
You write
understand
from
the
your
whole.
characters.
Yeah, and then they just sort of fit into the trope. So if a trope is trending, is popular, that's not going to inspire me to
Yeah.
write a book based on that. I think the whole thing of tropes has really exploded, and
It
people
has.
it really has. And I guess in some ways that's great because it tells you what a book is about. But I also think now some books are just sort of trending towards the tropes, and I wonder if sometimes we lose some of the heart of a story
Oh
because of that. I wonder, yeah.
Well, I don't wonder. I think yes. So, well, and that was one thing, like as I was reading this book, like you do have some tropes in it that are like kind of there, like it's small town, like there's a hidden identity, but
Yes.
overall, like it's not a tropey book. Like you don't write, like you're writing the book, you're not writing the trope. And I really
Right.
appreciate that, 'cause that's the thing, like that is
Thank
one of the
you.
things we talk about on the podcast, is how we want the stakes of the book. Like we don't want the feels, we don't want the vibes, we want the stakes. And I feel like a lot of authors who are writing to the trope, they're just giving us the vibes, and then you lose the heart of the story when you do that.
Right.
Do you face any challenges when you're writing romance itself, and how do you overcome them? Because it's one of those genres that has been fairly taboo for years, but it's a billion-dollar industry at the
Yeah, that's
same
right.
time.
Yeah.
So it's like, is it taboo? But like, it's still one of those things people don't want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really proud of to be a part of the romance genre, so I don't feel that taboo. I'm not naive to it, but I just don't personally feel that. And when I'm writing romance, of course the romance needs to be front and center with these characters. But just the way I feel about the story, it's more about what happens around them. And yes, their love is central, and or getting to that love story is central, but I want them to be about much more than that. And I want it to be deeper, and I want the readers to really connect with the characters and whatever they are going through, in addition to the love that they're building.
Yeah, I think you do a really great job of that.
Thanks, Leah.
Do you? I lost my train of thought there. Hold
That's
on just a
okay.
second. How do you find the balance between the development of the romantic arc and the story itself?
How do I find? Look, you stumped me. Try again. Let's go again with that question.
How, as a writer, do you
Yes.
find the balance between the
Yes.
romantic arc
Yes.
but also the story? Because the
Yes.
story is a big part of the
Yes.
book, but without the romantic arc, then it's not a
Yeah, it's not
romance.
a, exactly.
So how
And I
do you
think,
find that balance?
well, I think that's a little bit what I was stating before. The story is, of course, the romance has to be front and center, but the story behind it to me is what carries it, right? So if, you know, in my first book where it was a you know, where it was a second chance
Okay.
novel. So I was writing about, you know, the fact that what they suffered, what they went through, all of the things that kept them apart, that was a really important theme for me to write. And of course, it's about them getting together, but if it's just about them getting together, that to me hold that's not interesting.
Right.
Right? It's got to be their journey, what they went through, why they separated in the first place. So really just building that whole world around them so that the romance actually is anchored in something that people care about.
I like that.
Okay. I wasn't sure if the way you were looking was going, what is she saying?
No, I actually was, I was reading the blurb to book one. That's what I was doing. Because, like, I was like, ooh, because second chance is a hit or miss for me. It has to be done
Okay.
really well. But I'm like, I'm really intrigued by the way you were talking about it. So I was reading the blurb. I was not tone like tuning you out or anything. I was distracted by other books.
Okay. I will say that's great.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, so let's talk an imperfect truth. The
Yay.
release date was March 6,
Yes.
2025. Like I
Yeah.
said, it's not super tropey, but it is small town, hidden identity. There is excellent anxiety rep in this. It is a chubby, tattooed, and bearded male main character. It is a slow burn, but they do have some sexual fun throughout the book.
Yeah, that's
And he
right.
is definitely a golden retriever. So this book is Chaz and Lexi's story. Lexi lives in Chicago and she has run away to this small town to take a break from her life, and her trusty stress ball is always there.
That's right.
So let me just say, like, I have anxiety and I have like depression and things like that, and when I was younger it was a lot worse, and I went through therapy and all that stuff, and my therapist at the time gave me one of like a stone, that a worry stone that I used to carry around. I don't do it anymore because like I have it under control, but the stress ball kept making me think of my worry stone, because
Worse.
like ev when she would like have these moments of like chaos like running through her mind, she'd like squeeze the stress ball. And
That's
honestly, the
right.
stress ball was almost a character in itself.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's one thing that I really enjoyed about it, because anxiety is rampant. Like,
It
there's
is.
so many people that have anxiety, and it's one of
Yes.
those things that it's so many people don't deal with it in a proper way and just let it fester. But I felt like that was like a real tool that exists. Like the fact that she had the stress ball, the fact that she carried it with her, the fact that she used it all the time,
Often,
too.
yes, often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Chaz first. So Chaz owns this little coffee shop in his small town. He runs it with his sister. Both of their parents, he and his sister Sophia, both of their parents have passed away at different stages of their lives. So he has basically been raising her for the past few years.
That's right.
She is an adult, like through college, and he's having a hard time letting go of the purse strings.
Definitely.
But he's kind of. He's not stuck because he's very happy with his life, but he's kind of stuck at the same time.
He is.
Did you like model Chaz after somebody, or did it just come to you?
He's modeled after a few different sort of experiences and people in my life. So I wouldn't just say he kind of came out of the blue. But I love a man, like he has elements of my husband for sure, where, you know, he's just He really cares. He loves deeply. He's not afraid of his emotions, and that's the kind of man that I wanted to write, because I thought that that's the kind of man that Lexi needed in
Yes.
her life, given all she was going through. A man who was in touch with his emotions, that could help her get in touch with hers. And what's been very interesting to me, Leah, is that people love Chaz, and of course, I mean, what's there not to love? He's
Yes.
amazing. But women, some women, and I don't want to overstate this, but some women have struggled with Lexi. And I was surprised to find that, like, one reader actually said she needs to get over herself. And I was actually gutted by that comment, that, and not because she's my character, but because of sort of the lack of what felt the lack of sensitivity for what she was going through. And I also have to appreciate, not everybody understands anxiety, so there is that. So it's like, okay, come on, like, get over that feeling, get yourself together. So that hit me sort of real time, like, wow, okay. So people, some, but for the most part, I mean, people love her. So that's what I said, I don't want to overstate this, but there was that kind of hit me, that people were actually struggling with, like, and some people say Chaz deserves better. I'm going, this woman went to bat for him. In my view, she saved him. But not everybody saw it that way. So it was very, it's interesting, because I knew people would love Chaz. I didn't know how everyone would feel about Lexi, but I really love Lexi, and I'm so glad that a lot of people are finding her relatable. She is not perfect, but who is?
And I think that's the biggest thing about Lexi herself. Like, she's a very flawed character. And as somebody who has a spouse who has basically debilitating anxiety, like, she's very real. Because my husband, I love him very much, but for a long time, like, he's a doomsdayer anxiety person.
It's
So it's
hard.
like worst case scenario, which, I mean, things have gotten better. Like, and it is treatable and all that stuff. But it's one of those things, like, Lexi, like, she just cycles. Everything cycles over and over again. And the fact of the matter is, like, her parents were horrible.
Horrible. Just
Horrible. Like, they were not supportive, not understanding. It was like her mom was this socialite who expected her to be a socialite, and it was all about appearance and what they could do. And her dad, like, it was all about the business and how the business could grow, and he had no concept of her, like, her wanting to be happy. Like, and so there were times, like, as it's like, oh man, like, she's spiraling again. It's like, at the same time, it's like, when you come from two people who give you zero support emotionally, and have, like, she even talks about it at one point, her and Chaz are talking about their childhoods, and Chaz is saying how his dad played music with him, and, like, they did these things as a family and experienced the love that his parents had for him. She's like, I went to, not reform school.
No, but she went to, for poise and for,
Yes.
things that wouldn't, as she says, things that were to make me better, right? It
Like,
was,
yeah, basically debutante school,
debutante
which
school.
was where I was trying to go, but
Yes.
not reform. But that's the thing, like,
Not
their childhoods were so different. Hers was so structured and stringent and
and
neat
mean and
and
mean.
mean. Yeah.
Yeah,
And so it's like,
mean.
and I think that might be where people have the issue with Lexi. It's like, she doesn't come up, she's a caring person, but she has a hard time expressing that because she's never experienced that until she, like, really met those two friends she has, who
D
I
and
adore.
I know.
They are delightful. Like, their text chains are wonderful. But
Well,
until
D is
she,
from Batgirl. That's
oh.
so D is, you would meet her in Batgirl, and then Jordan you meet in Perfect Seduction. So it sort of carries
Well,
through their
okay
friendships.
then. I will be reading those. But and that's the thing, like, without them though, like, she really would not know what care is
Caring,
like.
yes,
And I think
absolutely.
that's the big thing. Like, she's been so forced to push her emotions down her entire life. She's getting there, but expressing is very difficult for her.
That's right. That's right.
And Jack and Chaz and Sophia were always encouraged to like emote.
Yes.
Like they love hard and visually hard.
Yes, they do. They do.
So your chapter headings, I love them. I think it's awesome. So when you open the book, you do not open on page one, which a lot of authors do. You open on like recipes,
Yes.
which I thought was amazing.
In the book, so I don't know, did you get the EPUB or
Well, I actually downloaded it from KU.
oh, you did. Okay, so then you got the little kind of got you.
I
Thankful. Thank
did.
you for that.
You're
Yeah. So
welcome.
you got the full spectrum of the
Well,
recipes
because
and everything.
you had sent me the early ARC, but you sent me a
Yeah.
PDF, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm so old, like I can't read it on my Kindle, and I get headaches on my Bluetooth or like
Oh,
my
I'm
blue light
sorry.
stuff. No, it's not your fault. It is all the age. But yeah, so I had another book that I'm doing for an author spotlight, and I had to like expand the page and then like shrink it back and swipe. So
That
I was since we got pushed back a little bit to do this, I'm like, I'll just KU it and then I don't have to worry about it. But yeah, so I saw all the little things, and like there's a lot of small details in the formatting of this book that I thought just worked so well with the entire story.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love that part too
So,
of
for
it.
those of you who have not read it, each chapter heading is a coffee shop beverage. So,
Right.
if you should just read it for those. I mean, come on.
Those some I could not like the punch in the gut that is that's espresso with the hot sauce and a squeeze of lemon. I mean, it fits the chapter in terms of what's happening there, but I could not drink
Yeah, there were a couple I was like, oh, I don't know about that combination. But that was one thing too, is every single heading, it flowed into what the chapter was.
Right, that's what I wanted.
And I think that that's just it's really fabulous that you took that much care in the way that you did your
I think
headings.
that took longer than writing the
Yeah. I enjoyed it, so it
I'm
was
glad you
worth it.
appreciate it.
If nobody
Thank
else likes it, it doesn't matter. I liked it.
Right, good.
But the story itself, like it follows Chaz and Lexi, like in their non-dates, like because she is not like ready to like move forward with anything. And I appreciate that, like he's like, yeah, that's not gonna happen. But we'll go ahead and non-date. But then Sophia's storyline is also really important to this story,
Yeah.
and it actually like it is what happens, like, and why, like, things come to a head. But,
Yes.
and I'm not going to talk about what happens because this is something that you need to read, like, to get the full gamut of that. But I, like, was heartbroken when I read that section. And then I
I
read
know.
your, like, afterword, and I'm like, I can see why she went this direction.
Yes, it came from a very personal place.
Yeah. But I appreciate the fact that you gave that issue, we'll just keep it vague still, that issue voice and attention.
I'm okay with saying that there was sexual harassment in the books. I think as soon as you kind of read the prologue, you get a sense
Yes, that's true.
for what it must be. And I thought not only is it sort of timely in the current, culture and
Yeah.
our climate, but it also happened to me, and I wanted to. And I don't know if I've ever really dealt with it. And I'm sort of this, I can be this very tough stoic person and just, okay, this happened, I dealt with it, let's move on. But I'm not sure that I ever really did move on. So it was helpful to write it in that way. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was great, and that's the thing. Like, it is something that is widespread. It is a growing
Absolutely.
issue. It has
Yeah.
always been an issue.
Yep.
But the fact that, let me just tell you, the dude gets his like due. Like, don't you worry. Like, when you find out, like, And that's the thing, like that is Lexi showing how she cares when
Right.
she takes like the initiative to do what she does. But
Yes.
there's a lot of other intricate like details in the story, like who Lexi really is and how it
Yes.
relates to Chaz and all of those things. But it all works and makes sense,
Thank
which
you.
it doesn't always do.
No, it doesn't. And I try and make like that's important to me. Of course, I'm writing for entertainment, right? I mean, I want people to be able to escape some of their, real reality with something that's fun and keeps them engaged. So there is always that element, but I also want it to be true. I don't want it to be like, okay, this is so far-fetched that I can't buy into it. So sometimes that's a hard balance that, you want to create entertainment, but you also want it to be true to life.
Well, and the friends group and the family that Chaz has created, like since his parents have passed away, his best friend Dice, is Dice getting a book? Wait,
Dice
they're
is getting a
next.
book. Yes,
He's
they're
next,
next.
right?
Yeah, with Lot. With Wild Lot. I think he will have met his match.
I'm so excited for that.
I think
There's some.
he's gonna lose that Holy Grail, I think.
Yeah,
When he made that
he is a character,
he really is.
but delightful at the same time.
Yes. I don't know if you've
Oh.
seen the character art for him yet.
I
That,
have
oh
not.
my goodness, that rated X did for me. Oh, Minx, she's just amazing talent, but check him out. He is the when you look at Dice, having read the story, you'll go, yeah, that's Dice.
Okay, I'm excited. I'm gonna have to go find that. So that is that what's next is Dice and Lot's book.
Yes. And then after that will be Sophia's book.
Yay.
I wanted her to get a little older, have some experiences, and then she's got an interesting arc coming up.
I'm intrigued by Sophia because she is one of those like she's independent and like she wants to spread her wings, but I have a feeling once she gets to Chicago and spreads her wings, it is not going to be what she expects. So you have thoughts already of like
I
where she's
have
going?
thoughts, they're percolating. And remember, she went to
Oh.
live, and then there's Chloe in the story. So we'll see what she's exploring when she gets there.
Oh, I'm so excited and I'm so intrigued. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this author spotlight. It was a delight to meet you and a delight
Same
to read your
here.
story.
Thank you.
And
This is
until next
great.
time, oh, sorry, go
No,
ahead.
I was going to say it was just great because I was telling you at the beginning that I don't do these very often. They kind of make me nervous and I get, oh my gosh, I hate my voice and I don't want it. I don't know if I'm going to answer the questions properly, but you made it wonderful and thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.